profound statement. He said, it is seen in life that when someone feels the love of a person, then his inner strength, and our English speakers, the new word I had to learn, is resilience, is increasing very, very much. Now, the greatest lack in our modern society, where things go so fast and where communications have become often so superficial, is that this love is not really experienced. People don't have time to express it. They have time to express what is, you know, what is known as sensual love. That is not what this statement refers to. So to be loved is something else than to experience some agitation, so to say. It's a very comforting feeling, a feeling of being totally at home. So then he made the point that a devotee who really feels this love from Krishna, because he has the feeling or the consciousness that Krishna is my best friend, he is living with me in my heart to give me advice. If someone has this feeling, my best friend is always with me in my heart, then it will show in his life. He will have a lot of inner strength. Certitude will be there. And he will be effulgent. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, there is this episode where the king has assembled with his advisors on the rooftop of his palace to get a better view of what is going on the street. And what is going on the street? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is greeting the devotees from Navadvip who have just come. And obviously, Pratapa Rudra, who is the king of Puri, has seen many times Sankirtan groups. But what he sees now on the street of Puri happening is so absolutely amazing for him that he has to ask his court priest, Sabapuma. He said, what is this? These devotees are like moving suns. They are so effulgent. And Sabapuma Bhattacharya says to him, these are the devotees of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. They are meeting the Lord, whom they love so much, and engage in a special type of kirtan. He calls it the prema kirtan. And as a result, they are now effulgent and they are brilliant and so on. So Buddha Bhavana Prabhu made this point also, that if you can feel the love of Krishna in your life, if you can feel cared for, accepted by, and loved, in fact, by the Lord, then your life will have a lot of inner strength. And this particular new word I learned, resilience, I had to look it up and I understood it's the ability to stand firm even in the face of challenges and be able to overcome the various obstacles of life. So in this kata, I would like to continue with our theme where we are deeply considering how to improve our relationship to Krishna so that we can also feel this love. I would like to talk about Srimad Pandit's extraordinary relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at a time of need. And I would like to engladden your heart and encourage you, in fact, to move forward in your own relationship with Krishna. I myself looking very much forward to this Chaitanya Katha, because amongst all the different leelas, if you so want, this has always taken a very special place in my heart, because it makes the point of use your time properly and don't entangle yourself unnecessarily. Hare Krishna. So we will start. Those of you who are the first time with us in this is a creation which we have done at the Govardhan retreat together with Bhujja Prabhu and Jagatarini Mataji and Madhavananda and Adi Purusha Prabhu. It is really a type of Lila Katha where we wish the devotees to enter into the moods, into the feelings of the devotees and of the Lord, and take part quite actively. We are still a little in the musical field here.
Above the garage,
And why was the garage of particular interest to us? Because there were potatoes and all our sushis were inside. So just like mice, we had to dig a channel from 3 meters above the garage to the snow and into the garage. And there we sang this melody, taking full shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, because we were really starving. So let us take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. You sing.
Thank you.
Mati Devotees. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvip to make some ceremonies for the departed soul of his father Jagannath Mishra, he was one person. But when he returned, he was so different. Already he had been the talk of the town due to his brilliant scholarship. But when he returned, there was no other subject matter in the town of Navadvip than his miraculous transformation. One who was most probably most surprised and also pleased about his change of heart was Srivas Pandit, an old family friend of Sachidevi and Jagannath Mishra. When Mahaprabhu was born, Srivas Pandit was already 36 or 35 years old. Now, when Mahaprabhu returned, he was around 56. And he had hoped all his life that the son of Sachi would become a great Vaishnava, because his great concern was that in this time of change, when the Moguls are ruling us, there must and where different philosophical systems are vying for superiority in Navadvip, because there was constantly discussions going on which philosophy is correct. On each street corner there were discussions going on. There, in this time where everything was covered really by materialism, he thought only a person who is strong in head and strong in heart can make a case for pure bhakti or the Vaishnavas. We will be lost without such a person, Srivas Pandit thought. And he had joined Advaita Acharya, who had also seen the same thing. Advaita Acharya prayed for an incarnation of the Lord to appear. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he was discussing and arguing and defeating and quarreling and everything else which ends with ing, but he was not living bhakti and he was not preaching bhakti. In fact, he laughed about Vaishnavas at times. So when Srivas Pandit saw how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon his return, cried in love of Godhead from morning till evening, he was in ecstasy. In his court there was one very nice tree which was, you know, having its branches all over the houses. It was really a flower-bearing malati tree which was the center of the Vaishnavas, because they would come every morning to pick these fragrant flowers from the tree. And it was also the noose center of the Vaishnavas. They would meet there to get their flowers for their deity worship. And they would discuss the noose. And Srivas Pandit was saying one morning, "Did
you hear the news?
What news?
Divine Pandit has become the greatest of all devotees. He's crying in ecstatic love of Godhead, and he's serving the Vaishnavas. He's standing there at the bank of the Ganga, and when they are in the water taking their bath, Chaitanya or Nimai Pandit comes from a hidden place, takes their garments and washes them. He carries mud which the devotees need to clean their pots from the Ganga to their houses. He has so many servants to do these things, but he does them personally, believing that the Vaishnavas need to give him blessings. What exactly happened when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned? I think the easiest for you to understand is when I invite you to sit very silently and peacefully in a corner of Jagannath Mishra's house and overhear the first long discussion which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had with his mother Sachi Devi. He said, "Mother, yes, son, maybe you want to know why I am so different.
Yes,
I really need to know as your mother. Mother, the Lord appeared to me, and then I saw him with his lotus eyes looking at me with love-laden glances. I just couldn't think of anything else to think about. From morning till evening, this vision haunts me. The love-laden glances of Krishna calling me to engage in his service. I have lost all my interest in my studies. But this is not good. You are supposed to be a scholar. How will you earn your livelihood? Krishna will take care of us, mother. And, oh mother, I have to tell you something which I realized. And then Gauranga Mahaprabhu talked about something which is so profound that I request you to listen to this as if your very life is dependent on this. He said, "Mother, I take shelter now at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My Lord walks over the surface of the world, and I remember how I once made a promise to him. When the soul is lying in the womb of his mother, he has glimpses of insight and understand, I'm here by the arrangement of Maya. And at the end of the seventh month, when that consciousness of the soul develops more, he remembers his previous illusory activities and he repents. He says, 'O Krishna, O life and soul of the universe, please protect me.'" Can we say this? "O Krishna,
O Krishna,
O life and soul of the universe,
O life and soul of the universe,
Rakshama.
Rakshama.
Other than you, to whom can I go and submit my sorrows? Mother, I have given up the Lord, who is a desire tree of auspiciousness. And subsequently I became maddened and took to material life. So the living entity who sees this situation prays to Krishna by saying, "Be merciful now, my Lord, so that I can never ever forget you again. Wherever I take my birth and die, O Krishna, please give me your service and keep me at your safe lotus feet. If you deliver me from this miserable condition of life, then I will certainly not desire anything else than you." So when the living entity, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to his mother, when the living entity wakes to consciousness and prays to Krishna like this, "Krishna, please protect me, especially from Maya," then, although it is so uncomfortable in the womb of the mother, there's not enough space for activities and so on, although this is so difficult, he becomes peaceful and does not feel any distress any longer. And in due course of time, reluctantly, the living entity comes out of the womb. I can compare this to when devotees, after spending a month of Kartik in Vrindavan, when they finally look at their tickets and find out, "Oops, it's time to go tomorrow, Turkish Airlines takes me to Istanbul according to this nonsense ticket," then they feel sad, because they know their consciousness will not be the same outside of Vrindavan. They know there will be the influence of the Rajagun, especially will be very strong, this constant stress and hectic of life. So when the living entity who is in consciousness of Krishna comes out of the body feeling the powerful contractions which move him towards the exit, he feels very reluctant and is very stressed out. If now, when the living entity comes out of the womb of the mother, it becomes again covered with material desires and associates with unrighteous people who have no idea of the real goal of life, then if he is going to a situation just like before. So then Lord Chaitanya turned to his mother and requested her, "Therefore, O my saintly mother, always worship Krishna in the association of devotees, and remember Krishna within your heart while you chant the name of Hari with your mouth." And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Mother, I have seen any place where there are no Vaishnavas, any place where there are no festivals glorifying Krishna, any place where there is no Sankirtan going on, is not suitable for living, even if the place is as comfortable as the palace of Lord Indra on the heavenly planets." Uh, This year, my dear devotees, I was at a cave in Vrindavan. It's the cave where Purnamasi, Yogamaya, stayed. It's just near Nandagram, in the fields. It's actually, you will need a guide to find it. It's really, it's like half an hour from the street, and it goes left and right and up and down until you don't know where you are any longer. But there is the cave of Purnamasi, who stayed at Krishna's, before Krishna's palace, and she would make all the arrangements so that Krishna's pastimes could go on in Vrindavan. I will just tell you one little detail which I like very, very much. Radharani had a parrot who knew everything. And this parrot was talking to Radharani about Krishna. So once Krishna went with his friend Madhumangal on top of the palace, on the roof of the palace, and he started to play his transcendental flute. And when Radharani heard the sound vibration of her only Lord's flute, she fainted in ecstasy. And it took her a long time to recover. Lalita Sakhi was there, was trying to bring her back to consciousness. And as this was going on, Lalita said to the parrot, "Never associate with this Krishna. He is very, very bad. He makes people faint. Just see." Radharani has fainted upon hearing the sound of Krishna's flute. Now, Krishna knew what was going on, and he thought, "This is not good that they talk bad about me." And he played on his flute in such a way that the parrot came, became attracted and flew to Krishna on the roof and listened to his magical and enchanting flute. And as the parrot listened to Krishna's flute, he forgot all about returning to Radharani and doing his service there. He became totally captured by Krishna's flute. So when Radharani awoke from her swoon, she asked Lalita, "Where's our parrot?" Lalita said, "We heard some other sound of the flute, some other melody, and the parrot was gone." So then Lalita went to get the parrot back, which Radharani wanted. And you know what he saw? She saw? She saw the parrot staying with Krishna's flute. He was guarding the flute, and then Krishna came out and played some more of the flute, and the parrot just listened and listened and listened. Then Lalita knew this flute of Krishna is very special. We have to be really careful about this flute. So once this happened later, Radha and Krishna are sitting together, and out of the door comes Yatila, who's always spying on the divine couple. And she knocks at the door and says, "You are with Krishna, no?" And she runs into the room, and Krishna is gone. He has disappeared. He knows these things. Then Radharani was saying, no, he was not there. But Jatila saw on the couch Krishna's flute. She grabbed the flute and said, what? This is the, I've caught you red-handed. Krishna cannot be seen because he's a deceiver, but his flute, I have his flute. At this moment, there everything became so absolutely dangerous for the divine couple. Purnamasi was caught in the mind by Radharani, and Purnamasi did her magic. She came to the place where Jatila was holding the flute and calling all the village people together and said, ha, I have seen Krishna was with my married daughter-in-law Radharani. Here's the flute. I found it on the sofa. I've catched them red-handed. And Purnamasi comes and says, oh, you are very ignorant. Don't you know that there was just a flute shower? It rained many flutes. Everyone here who has gathered on this marketplace, quickly go home. You will find a flute on your bed also due to this extraordinary flute shower. And they go, and the Vrijvasis go into their homes, and on their beds they see a flute, a brilliant flute, just like the flute which Jatila brought from their Radha and Krishna associated. This is Purnamasi. She makes all arrangements, and magic exists in the Dharam because of Purnamasi. I just wanted to say, I was in this cave where Purnamasi would stay in Vrindavan, and whenever she was needed by the Vrijvasis or by Radha and Krishna, they would inform her and she would perform her various duties. And there, in the cave, I sang a song which I like very much. It says, oh, the powerful material energy who puts everyone in illusion is very difficult to overcome. But O Purnamasi, O Yoga Maya, if someone takes shelter under your lotus feet, you personally help that person to overcome Maya's influence and get to the lotus feet of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to say to his mother, when we take shelter in Krishna, the Maya goes far away, and the Yoga Maya, which brings the living entity together with Krishna, becomes active. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains this a little bit more because it's so important for conditioned souls to understand. He says, the same illusory energy of the Lord, once it sees my inclination towards the service of the Lord that I have received by the mercy of Guru Krishna, that same Yoga Maya, that same Maya, in her form as the eternal spiritual potency, delivers me from the miseries of the material prison. O Lord, the moment I forgot you and became adverse to you, by not accepting you as my eternally worshipable Lord and the cause of all causes, that very moment where I forgot you, I became absorbed in illusion, not related to you. But from that moment onwards, where I turn to you, you are immediately there and make arrangements by Yoga Maya how to meet you. You know? These are very important instructions
So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to his mother, "Mother, there's limited time. When we were born, or before we were born, we prayed to Krishna that he would protect us, that he would call back his Maya and engage us in loving devotional service. Now, Mother, I have to do this." And Mother Sachi gave her permission. What could she say? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time manifested his Sankirtan movement. For one complete year, he was in the house of Shiva's Thakur doing every night a wonderful kirtan. Now, one night, it was towards the end of this year, something very special took place, which I would like to tell you in some detail, because I honestly feel that if you understand what happened in this one night, it was actually a long night, then you can really make your advancement in Krishna consciousness very, very quickly. I would like you to join us singing now a little and enter that kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the house of Shiva's Thakur. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
I'm not afraid of the dark.
finally he took together all his courage and said, in my life up till my 16th birthday, I was extremely naughty. I never read scriptures. The holy name did not appear on my tongue. I was a wild rascal. Once, when I was asleep, a divine personality appeared. He was greatly effulgent. He was tall. His body had the complexion of molten gold, with measured steps. He approached my bed. I did not know how he entered the room, and with a deep voice he addressed me. I don't know why you are such a rascal. Srivas, don't you know that you have only one more year to live? Then you will die. And this old personality turned around, and as he parted, he said, do the right thing now. I didn't know what the right thing was. I looked for scriptures, but I didn't have scriptures in my house. I went outside and looked for books, and I came upon one book called Narada Purana. And there I read the following verse. Some of you will know. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hello, Namaste, 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 Namaste. In this age of Kali, there's no other means. No other means, really, no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name. It's chanting the holy name. Yes, chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. When I read this about the glories of the holy name, my fearful heart, which knew that my time was measured, became peaceful. And I applied this verse with great faith. I chanted many hours a day. But this caused a big problem with my old friends. When they saw how seriously I started to chant, they began to tease me. They came and they rocked my shoulder to disturb me. They said, do you think you have become a saint now? Drink some alcohol, then the saintliness will go with your urine out of your body. I nevertheless continued, because I had great faith in the verse of that effulgent Brahmana who had visited me that early morning and who had said, do the right thing now. My dear devotees, I think we all find ourselves in situations where we need to know what is the right thing and then do it. The Bhagavatam says that our bhakti practice must be tivrena. Tivrena means a strong, unobstructed flow, much like the river Ganga when it comes from the Gomukh and flows down. It's so powerful, so tivrena, that anything which comes into its way, even big boulders, are pushed to the side by the waves of Mother Ganga, who's so determined, so strong. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this also. Do not be carried away, he says, when some obstacle comes and someone criticizes you, maybe even someone who's close, but continue with your spiritual life. Our time is measured, my dear devotees, and it's good to take an example from Shivas Thakur. Maybe Shivas Thakur had Katvanga Maharaj in mind. Maybe you know Katvanga Maharaj was a powerful fighter who could use the mystical weapons. He was so powerful that the Devatas had called him to fight on behalf of them, a battle against the Asura. And he fought so much, so wild, so heavily, that he chased the Asuras away. And the Devatas had become victorious by the support of Katvanga Maharaj. They offered him a blessing. And Katvanga asked, well, tell me first of all, how long do I still have to live? And the Devatas said, let's calculate that really carefully. And then they said, yeah, only a moment. What would you like to have in that moment? Katvanga said, bhakti. And he went to the planet Earth. And he sat down with a firm resolve, and he said, I should now give up my attachment for things created by Maya, the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I should engage my mind in thought of the Lord, and I should surrender unto Him. This material creation is all created by the external energy of the Lord. It's like an imaginary town visualized on a hill or in a forest. When you go through the forest, sometimes things appear before you which are not really there. It's a hallucination often made up by your mind. Every conditioned soul has a natural attraction and attachment for material things. But one must simply give up this attachment and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Katvanga Maharaj gave up his false identification with the material body and his position, and he surrendered. How do you practically, when you see, I need to become more surrendered, I need to become more devotional, I need to become more spiritual in my life, otherwise I only hear a loud emptiness in my heart. I do not want to cheat myself any longer by trying to fill this emptiness with material things and positions and role playing. I want that Krishna is present. What will you do at that time?
Krishna tells in his final instructions to Uddhava just before he leaves the planet, four easy to follow instructions. And he says, if you follow these, you will conquer death, even if you are born in Switzerland. That he doesn't say. These four instructions are: first, always remember me and perform whatever duties you have for me alone. Some of us are maybe educators, or we are have the duties to earn some Lakshmi for our rent. These are duties, but you can do them for Krishna. You can say, I'm educating the people in my school, or I'm earning my money so that I'm fit for Krishna's service. You are right. You have to also have the, you have the duty to go to the toilet at the proper moment. The Vishnu Purana says even such a meaningless activity as going to the bathroom can be offered to Krishna. Not the product, but the activity. Because by the, doing the toilet activities, front and back, the mind is clear for remembering Krishna. So Krishna says, always remember me and perform your other duties for me. Second, Krishna says, offer your mind and your intelligence to me and fix your mind on my devotional service. Find out in your life some service and think how to make that nice for Krishna. The third instruction is, take shelter of holy places where my saintly devotees reside and follow the example of my devotees. And the last thing is what we try to do here, either alone or in public, sing more, dance more, and celebrate the holidays, ceremonies, and festivals where I am worshipped. So, what were the four things? You do your duties for Krishna.
Offer your mind.
You offer mind and intelligence to Krishna and to devotional service for Krishna. Third, wow, you really listen. You take shelter of holy places. Why? Because you can meet saintly devotees there. And the last instruction is, if you are alone or in public, you can also sing and dance in your room, in case you didn't yet know this. It's really nice. Either alone or in public, sing and dance and celebrate the holidays, ceremonies and festivals where I am worshipped. At the end of your life, or even just before, when your body cannot move so nicely, you would think, oh, why didn't I dance more? Why was I so mental and so obstructed? Yes. So Shiva's Thakur, my dear devotees, remained extremely focused. He sang more and he danced more. Mainly through the holy name, which the Haryanama, huh? 1 month went by, 2 months went by, 3 months went by. Slowly the friends understood he is for real. Half a year went by, more than half a year went by. Finally, the day had come. Shiva's thought, today is the day. It is the last day of my life.
let me think what is the best way of leaving my body. Have you ever thought about the best way of leaving your body? I think so. No? From time to time we hear how devotees leave the body surrounded by other devotees who chant, and we may think, when my time comes, I wish the devotees around me chanted. I remember when one devotee left the body. The devotee was very, very dear devotee and was in our preaching team. We all went to the devotee's side in an emergency of the Charité, a big hospital, and we sang and sang for 8 hours. We sang continuously. Finally, the male nurse came. We thought, oh no, he will chase us out. That nurse had tears in his eyes, and he said, when my time comes, I wish that people like you sing for me. I said, well, should I take your address? He was still young. Today is the day, said Shivas. I will leave my body. What's the best way? So he got an idea. He took a boat to Navadvip town and visited the famous ashram of Devananda Pandit, where daily readings of the Bhagavata had taken place. He knew he would leave his body in the midst of the lecture, and he thought, let me discreetly go to the side. He sat down on a slightly elevated veranda. As he was listening, the reading came to the part where Prahlad Maharaj's glories were described, who remembered Krishna even at the threat of death, and he felt deep ecstasy remembering Prahlad Maharaj, and in that mood he left his body. He sat back and fell down from the veranda on a piece of straw, on a pile of straw. And then he said, at that moment, I again saw the same effulgent Brahmana. He was tall. The complexion of his body was golden. I remembered how he had come 1 year earlier. As I swooned and went out of my body, he suddenly slapped me on my back, and life returned to me. The people who had crowded around me also saw that I had strangely come back to life. Deep in thought, I went to my place, and suddenly I felt a joy which I had never felt before. This joy rushed into my heart. I had understood that the holy name which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had arranged for me to come into my mouth when he gave me that book. At this moment, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu interrupted Srivas. Srivas, do you know who that Brahmana was? It was me who came to you and warned you. And it was me who, after 1 year, visited you again and slapped you back to life. When Srivas Thakur heard this, he was overwhelmed in ecstasy. He understood something which is so necessary for all of us to make our spiritual life come truly alive. And that is that the Lord is always there by our side and protects us. We never know how long we will be here. It is best, my dear devotees, to use our remaining time wisely. One way of using the time wisely is really the only way. There are many particulars, as much as individuals are there. There's always one principle I wanted to say, and that is become free from your ego. It's the ego which engages us in unnecessary thoughts and unnecessary activities and keeps us from living the blissful life, the joy of devotion in our hearts. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed this at the beginning of the Sankirtan Yajna. In just a moment, we will hear how to effectively become free from the ego.
Yeah. Thank you. Says Bhakta Ashivada Se Krishne De Bhakti Haya. By the devotee's blessings, one can even attain bhakti or devotion to Lord Krishna. And this is so because Krishna has invested his devotees whom we can very easily satisfy with the power of his Kripa Shakti. The devotee is actually able to give even Krishna pain. In the scriptures, the Harivamsa, there's a nice analogy of Krishna's queen Satyabhama. Satyabhama wanted to make a special ceremony, and for that ceremony she needed a flower tree. So Krishna, loving husband of Satyabhama, was requested by his wife, "Can you bring me the Parijata tree from the heavenly planets?" Krishna said, "Yes." He went and came back with a whole tree, all with flowers. "I've written it down from the Harivamsa for your pleasure how this tree looks. Look, there are many birds on the tree, engaged in conjugal affairs as if intoxicated." As soon as the elderly people saw this wonderful celestial tree, the symptoms of old age vanished. Diseased people became free from their illness. Those who were blind and looked with their blind eyes on the tree could see again. Many birds cuckooed. Anyone who came just near to this mystical tree could hear melodious instruments and songs also. And those who like to smell whatever they like to smell, saffron, aguru, the Parijata tree provided that fragrance. It could adjust the heights. Sometimes it would become so big that it covered the whole town of Dwarka. And sometimes, when someone wanted, it became so small that it fitted on the palm of the hand. So Krishna helped Satyabhama to get this tree and other important ingredients. I don't know what other important ingredients. I stopped there, you know, because that's already something. At the end of the ceremony, Satyabhama said, "Powerful blessings are required." So Lord Krishna, in his mind, called the saint Narada Muni there and worshipped him with an arati. And Satyabhama gave him preparations which he had cooked with her own hand. Then Narada Muni gave his blessings. "May the ceremony of Satyabhama be successful." But now Narada Muni said, he didn't even say anything, he just made this gesture, "It's time to give your charity to me." When Satyabhama knew it's charity time, she bound a put a flower garland around Krishna's neck and tied him to the Parijata tree. He's a very playful husband and wife. Then she said, "Krishna, the best thing I have is you. Is it all right if I give you a charity to Narada Muni?" Krishna said, "You're a devotee. You can give me away." And Satyabhama gave Krishna away to Narada Muni. This is the power of the devotee. Krishna will not protest. When a devotee blesses us, it's a strong devotee, then Krishna will follow the blessings of the devotees and our life can become successful. So from that moment on, Krishna had to walk behind Narada Muni. One day he said to him, "What can I do to regain my freedom?" And Narada Muni said, "You have to give four gifts. One is a Kapila cow, sesame seeds, deer skin, and a piece of gold. Lord Shiva in the past established this rule that if you give these gifts, you can become free from all debts. If you have ever debts, my dear devotees, remember this. Give the debtor a Kapila cow, sesame seeds, deer skin, and a piece of gold. That should be enough. So, Lord Krishna agreed to this. In this pastime, he gave these things to Narada Muni. And then he went to Narada and said, ask me for a blessing. This was a wonderful pastime. And Narada Muni said, may you always be pleased with me, even when I become your new lord. By your mercy, may I always have your association, wherever you might be. Please bestow your mercy upon me, so that I do not take birth again in this material world, but remain totally devoted to you. So Krishna said, so be it. The point why I like to tell this is because in our Shastras, this is an example how Krishna becomes lovingly bound to his devotee, and why we can go to the Vaishnavas and say, please give me Krishna, you have Krishna. And why? But the best way is not to ask. The best way is to serve. A menial servant service, you can please the devotees. This is what Lord Chaitanya did. The first thing he did when he saw a Vaishnava in the morning, he offered his obeisances. Then he said, my only devotion is because I have served Vaishnavas. And with great humility, he pressed the feet of the Vaishnavas and held them. When Lord Chaitanya saw a devotee taking a bath, he tried to squeeze his wet cloth and wrung it out for him. When he saw someone coming out of the Ganga, he handed him his dhoti, dry dhoti. Sometimes he collected items which the devotees needed for their worship, like kusha grass and clay. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya did service. My dear devotees, in bhakti, you should always remember this. Once the personal servant of my spiritual master asked him, Srila Prabhupada, whenever you arrive at an international airport, the devotees of that country come. They have tears in their eyes and they sing loud. Prabhupada said, the tears will dry, but they may not sing. You don't serve me by this display of emotion. You are actually serving me every day by cooking, massaging, carrying my luggage, and so on. That is a better offering. So in the Vaishnava tradition, coming to a devotee, an exalted devotee, or any devotee, and serving them according to their needs is the fastest way, really, to obtain the blessings of the devotee and Krishna. The blessings of the devotee come forth from their heart when they are satisfied with our activities. And it is by these powerful blessings that we are carrying forward. Now where our movement becomes more and more a congregational movement, let us not forget this
possibility or opportunity to collect the powerful strings of blessings by serving the Vaishnavas, by doing something which is pleasing to the heart, and by maybe like Gaurahari said, we can sometimes come for a week or 2 weeks or 4 weeks or for months or for years or 40 years and serve in Guru Kadam. Why not? Something extraordinary, no? Something out of the normal constrictions of life. This service to the Vaishnavas, to Srila Prabhupada, will give so much blessings, so much strength really to carry us forward. How can you serve the devotees? Well, you can wash pots, you can clean a bathroom room. So yesterday I saw two very young teenage devotees. They were cleaning the temple and putting the mattresses on the seats where they belong. Or you can go into the living spaces. I think they are quite chaotic now. And clean or put them in order. Don't ask always what the devotees can do for you. See what you can do. The moment you see and serve devotees, or serve devotees, that very moment the devotees give you a powerful energy comes into your life, that is the power of blessings. Sometimes the blessings of Krishna are difficult to understand. I admit, sometimes Krishna doesn't slap us on our back and back to life. Sometimes he waits. Sometimes he doesn't give us what we asked him for. But you should know, whatever the ways of the Lord are, whatever he prepares for you, that is in your best interest. I would like to sing again with you.
Bye. Thank you.
very, very much. I want to say two things in closing this evening. Something which is a little embarrassing for me. Maybe you noticed I tried my best, but sometimes you can't glorify the Lord. You want, your heart wants to glorify the Lord. I should say it more precisely in English. We want to glorify the Lord so beautifully, but sometimes, although we have this desire, it just doesn't come. So I tried and struggled very hard, I try to bring to your attention. That is simply two points. I'm thinking our time is also limited here on this planet Earth. And it goes so fast, like we can watch a rose budding and then being a bud and then blossoming and then failing, and then the leaves of the rose flowers fall to the ground and become one, the ground. We can watch that, but it's so difficult for us to see how kala works in our bodies, in our lives, because we are souls and we are eternal in nature, but then we can illusion, we think our physical existence, our life here is also not ending. We don't think of the practical end. But I very much appreciated that Lord Chaitanya gave that understanding to Srivas Thakur, when he was a Brahmana, a young Brahmana. Sometimes devotees ask, well, isn't Srivas Thakur an eternally liberated member of the Panchatattva? Isn't he Narada Muni? And this is true, he is. Now, in the Panchatattva, he represents living entities like the Bhaktas, like you and me. And then, in this form of Narada Muni, a conditioned soul, or a conditioned part, manifest, and it is this conditioned part who had this experience when he was 16. The Lord came to him and reminded him. I like this very much, my dear devotees, because when I was 16, the Sankirtan party came in my life, and I turned from a young boy who was wasting his life with material activities for sense gratification. I turned into someone who tried to serve Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, and I felt really that Lord Chaitanya had made a similar arrangement for me. He had also come in the form of a holy name in my life. He came in two ways. I met the devotees who were doing Sankirtan, and it was really cold in the winter. It was like this, a weather where you can't live because it's too cold, and you can't die because it's not cold enough. So, on such a day, I met the devotees, and I saw them chanting in the snow, but only snow. And I asked the devotees if they could write down the words of the song. I liked it, and it was the late Tamakrishna Maharaj, or His Holiness Tamakrishna Maharaj, who gave me this handwriting, the Mahamantra mantra. And I didn't start to chant. I needed to be very, very afraid first before I started. And that came in one night. I was very afraid because I had seen a horror movie against the explicit
all of my parents, and I was very young and imaginative, and I thought Frankenstein was coming from, you know, when I left the TV, then I thought Frankenstein was hiding in our apartment, in the toilet, and in the sleeping room of my parents and my brother. So I saw him everywhere. So my only solution now to survive the night, because the parents were gone, the brothers were gone, somewhere I was alone in that a large apartment. I looked for that slip of paper with the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and went under the blanket of my bed with the torchlight and chanted the whole night, and I became very much free from fear and very blissful. That was how the holy name came to a fool like me. Lord Chaitanya arranged that I would meet his devotees, and Lord Chaitanya arranged also that I would become so afraid that I would look for shelter. So I want to request you also to think you have limited time. The time will go, you know, and use it wisely. Use it wisely. And my next point was Lord Chaitanya's movement is very simple. You just have to develop, you have to serve the holy name, you have to serve the Vaishnavas and do something for the benefit of others. And the best way to really enter this is by serving the Vaishnavas. Believe me, my dear devotees, I could explain it very nicely, but just believe me, if you serve devotees, Krishna somehow becomes very satisfied with you, and then the blessings come and you are able to render nice devotional. You are able to enter the world of bhakti by these powerful blessings. This is what I wanted to say. I wanted to show that even the Supreme Lord himself did service to the Vaishnavas by folding their cloth and washing their cloth and everything. Please think about this in your life, maybe in the coming year, and it will be very good for all of us. Thank you very much, and next time I will do better. Hare Krishna.